Hello, Sunshine. This is Dr. Stacey Ann C. Grant, the founder of Destiny Designers University and the Faithpreneur Movement. Faithpreneurs are faith-based entrepreneurs with a fidelity to God in organizing, managing, and operating their businesses, and or faith-based professionals looking to add another stream of income to their personal economy. I'd like to welcome you to our Faithpreneur VIP Prayer Call podcast. These are weekly recordings of our Saturday fellowship where we've been sharing our prayer requests and praise reports in a safe, loving, and supportive environment for over a decade. Welcome to the family, and I pray that you are encouraged and continue in your faith walk. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. The gifting looks good on you. Okay, live studio audience. The gifted looks good on you. I'm like, what's happening here, people? So I am just so excited. To God be the glory. We are here launching the Faithpreneur TV Network with this taping. Oh, my God, I want to explode! But I can't, the way this dress is set up. Oh, my Lord. So, Faithpreneur VIP Prayer Call family, you know that every single year we do this call live, and we're just doing some level setting because, you know, the production team, let's give it up for Granted Group Productions. They're testing my angles. Make sure you get my good angle. And making sure that our audio and everything is together. So this is an exciting day because God woke us up one more again.
Yes.
To do this thing called life, right? And as Bishop Sean Lewis would say, last night was not my last night. So we give God praise for today, for what he is doing, for the opportunity for the 6th annual Faithpreneur Weekend Experience. I remember the first one, and so many of you here do. Marriott Marquis in the middle of New York City where the ball drops. Who knew what God was planning? And Bishop, when I tell you, I didn't know how I was writing the deposit check. And I went to FraserNet and I started talking about this vision. When you start talking about your vision, you have to praise God for those who can see it before it materializes. And one person at that conference said, I like what you have here. You know what? I'm going to sponsor 2 segments. And that $5,000 was the $5,000 deposit that I needed for the New York Marriott Marquis. Yes. But let me back it up a little bit, because it's the Faithpreneur Conference. This is my show. Yes. So I went to the Network Journal event at the New York Marriott Marquis, and there's a beautiful atrium where it's all glass. And I said to one of my past honorees, I said, D, this is where I want to have Faithpreneur Weekend. And she said, all right, let's pray on it. I walked 7 times. I just kept walking. I was like, this is where we're going to have it. And I had 1 cent to get a New York Marriott Marquis. But I declared and decreed that that's where I wanted to have it. And when I called for the date, it just so happened somebody had canceled or something. I don't know what went wrong for them, but it went right for me. Yes. And she said, well, we have a room. And then I started looking at the numbers. I was like, oh, sweet Jesus. This New York Marriott Marquis. But I delayed and delayed with the deposit until when that check came and I walked in, it was the exact amount. That's a God wink when you know that that was it. But not only did I love the space, she started explaining the fees. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting. So I said, well, let's just stay with this room right here. As it was said and done, I only contracted for the room, but I ended up with the entire space. The entire space. The God I serve is real. And on top of that, they had, what was that conference with the cartoons? Comic-Con was in the Marriott Marquis. And you know, it's a huge building, so there are multiple events going on. I didn't ask security to do anything. Security took it upon themselves to stop all of the characters from coming up on the floor. They said there's such a peace on the ninth floor that we're not allowing anybody to come up here who doesn't belong in this conference. I had one room. They gave me the whole floor. And it was a stretch, you know, doing it. I was like, oh, how is this going to work? I ain't too proud to beg. I was begging everybody. I'm like, somebody sponsor me. I need a dollar. I need 15 cents. I need something because we got to pay this bill. But to God be the glory that we were able to do it there, because other people told me, well, this is your first one. Why are you trying to go to a hotel? You should just go do it in the church basement. Why do we put God down low when he is the head of all things? So that was my vision, and I stuck to it, and it stretched me. And every year since then continues to be a stretching of where he's taking me. And as I look back to that day, I said, wow, Jason, who is here managing in the clubhouse room, our virtual green room. Y'all say hi to the virtual green room. Y'all got to say a little bit more love than that. We'll see if we can pop them in a little later on so you can say hi to them. But I think back to that day and I said, Lord, I know I'm not crazy. I know you gave this to me. And sometimes you're on a path and you're not quite sure how each step is going to add up, because God gives you a Noah's Ark mission. And everybody looking at you like, well, what you know? Ain't no rain when you building the ark. But you have to be able to hold that space. You have to be able to understand if God gave it to you, he didn't give it to them. So you have to be able to stay faithful even when everything around you seems to be on fire. Yes. And now we're at year 6. And it's taken on a whole new development. It's the way God launched Destiny Designers University in 2014, a multimedia training. One of our honorees, Toni Coleman Brown, she was a part of it that day. We went 12 hours straight. Wow. Interviewing different experts and just talking about the fact that we can be unapologetic about our faith. And now we've built a safe place where anyone who identifies as a faithpreneur can build their companies, build their businesses, get the capacity, the training that they need for the journey. We don't sell overnight success, right? This is about daily focusing on God's word and what he tells you to do, and then all things shall be added. So this prayer call started at PNC, and the Power Networking Conference is led by Dr. George C. Frazier, one of my other mentors. And I remember going there and looking at everybody in a daze, because it's so much great content and information and you don't know what to do. Well, who do I talk to? Where do I go? What workshop? I said, well, why don't we just all get together for sunrise prayer? And let's be intentional about asking God to direct us on who to work with, what to do. Because one thing I've learned over these years, you have to pray, P-R-A-Y, on who you connect with, because people will P-R-E-Y on you. Yes. Mm-hmm, I said it. P-R-A-Y on who you going to connect with, because some people will P-R-E-Y on you. Yes. So that prayer has become a foundation of even covering the conference. You know, people can't put into words, oh my gosh, you're just so amazing at what you do, and this conference is incredible, and you just pull it all together. That's God. And it started as something that I just did until the team said, well, if she's doing prayer every year, why don't we just get her a room? Because I was gathering in the lobby. I would tell people where to meet me and go ahead and text them and say, let's just gather down here and pray. And then the team said, let's just put it on the program so everybody knows they can meet Dr. Stacy for prayer. And now this prayer call is continuing because I started that one prayer at a conference and got home and folks were like, well, what time is prayer? I'm like, we're talking about Willis. The conference is over. Go with God. Be great. So I said, well, I guess I can commit to Saturdays, because I'm like, I'm not a minister. I'm not a pastor, but I can pray. And I'll pray. And then every Saturday since then, I think I've missed maybe six because I've been on a plane or in another country in a time zone and just missed being able to dial in. But thank God to community and partnership that the call still goes on, even if I can't be there. Now, being the international president and CEO of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, there are a lot of weekends where I'm traveling and the team has to keep the space open. And it's a safe place that has saved lives, that has witnessed for God. We continue to see the miracles over and over again from consistency, right? He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. And this prayer call continues to be our safe place, that there's no judgment. I don't like when people act like they can point a finger at you without looking at the three pointing back at them. We're all doing our best to do what we've been called to do. And we need safe places. Well, as we grow, we might make a mistake. And that's great, because then you'll learn what not to do the next time. That'll be one of my books, How to Make a Million Mistakes and Still Succeed. Because yes. You don't have to be perfect. What's my second life lesson? It's not about being perfect. It's about getting started so you have something to perfect. If I never started Destiny Designers University in 2014, we wouldn't be here talking about the Faithpreneur TV network.
Come on.
We wouldn't be here at the 6th annual Faithpreneur Weekend Experience if I didn't start day one. And it's been a road. It's been hills, valleys, ups and downs, but nothing is wasted. My years being an event planner as one of my many businesses has now turned into how I'm able to have a whole family. That's a production team. We're taking this thing on the road. Oprah ain't got nothing except a little extra cash right now on me. But we coming. We coming, Sister O, right? Because you paved the way.
Yes.
And this is how we're going to spread the good news of the gospel. God has made me his 21st century media ambassador. So I'm joining all the other media ambassadors that we can use this platform so Bishop Sean Lewis's services can be on air on TV, that we can have the Women's Network, the Network for Women. Part of that, we can have Structured Skin. And here, you change it to Black Skin and something else, but I'm going to get it all right together. But we can have the Pulpit Chick have her episodes in a space that's created for us. So I ask you to continue to keep me in prayer, because I'm out here asking everybody for money, because it takes money to produce. It takes money to get the media buying power. It takes money in order for us to get the right insurance to make sure that all of the pieces are in place. And I spoke to someone who's going to be a part of our senior advisory, and she said, okay, that's cute, because she saw what I had with the investor circles, you know, low level opportunities for you to partner with me on this. She said, no, this is a $1 million brand. She said, we're about to start going after spaces and places that you can fill because it doesn't exist. So I thank God for opening up those doors and then me trusting him that from prayer, pray without ceasing. For it is impossible to please God without what? Faith. So that's what it's about. So prayer call. Let's see who's on the line live today that wants to just greet us. You know how we do. Tell us your name, where you're calling from, what you're grateful for. You'll be here for about 45 minutes to an hour before we get into the program. So if you didn't get your virtual ticket, you might not be able to participate in the rest, but we thank you for the prayer and thank you for being here in our live studio audience, our honorees. I can't wait to introduce them to you, that we continue to let the testimony of what God is doing each into their lives be able to inspire you to stay the course. That's what this is about. We don't do this thing called life alone. And God has put something special in every single one of us. He didn't leave anybody out. You just have to decide with your free will if you choose to serve him. If you'll be unapologetic in your faith, if you won't allow anybody to put you on the mute ministry, that you are going to proclaim the good news of the gospel through every industry. There's nowhere where God is not. So we can be in sports, we can be in entertainment, we can be authors, we can be speakers. There's nowhere that you can escape the majesty of our God. So with that being said, let's check the lines and see if one or two. Okay. So just pray for me, because my son is my boss, it seems. So, you know, on the production team, he's a technical director and he don't play about the run of show and the timeline. So, you know, when we really all over these waves and we're doing this, y'all pray, because, you know, we're going to be fussing on air. I'm like, the director said, I can't do that. All right. So let's see what's going down. So unmute yourself by star one. We're going to test the lines and see. They're trying to just make sure everything is connected. And then we're going to test Clubhouse. All right, Jason, let's do a check on Clubhouse.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you, our past Faithpreneur Weekend honoree and my brother from another mother, the Jason Hodge, holding us down. Jason, we here. It's year
I
six,
know,
bro.
Right?
Look at God. Won't he do it? Oh, my goodness. So how many folks are joining us in the Clubhouse streets?
Okay, so we've got 19 that are here in total and growing.
Okay, okay. If anybody wants to come up, and we might be able to pop in the virtual green room and just let us wave at them. I have to see. You know, I have to check with the team and see. Can we?
Pop
no, okay. The team said no. Team said no. So hi, virtual green room. Not now. Maybe later. Okay. All right. So let's see if anybody else wants to speak in Clubhouse. But Jason, you go ahead and tell everyone where you're tapping in from, what you're grateful for, and just your experience witnessing this from day one.
Well, okay. So I am tapping in from Lakewood, Washington, and witnessing from day one. I mean, this has definitely been a journey, and it's been absolutely amazing because, for one, this always lives out its name. Every single year, it is an opportunity for us to grow in faith. And it started out as just the gala and the book, and then it turned into a weekend that was going to be a one and done. And we were like, well, wait a minute, hold on.
Yeah, y'all were cussing at me when you said year two plan.
Yeah, we made a one and done. It's got to be year two. And so we're all just sitting there talking like, okay, so what are we doing for next year? Roz was there. You know, it was really awesome. And then to see what God does and will do every single time. And it's kind of funny because he grows things from the core. Everybody in the core had things that they had to navigate, things where they had to stretch their faith. I mean, we all did. And so to see that, how it started out, where there was very few sponsors for the first year because they didn't want to touch things with a 10-foot pole that had faith attached to it. And then year two happened, year three happened, and then sponsors that were like, oh, no, we don't touch faith, moved over to, well, maybe faith isn't so bad. Maybe this thing about faith is all right. So it just goes to show that you don't have to have everything figured out. When God gives you something, you just have to say yes, just like the song that we were hearing this morning. You have to say yes. And then you have to let him move your steps. What next step should I take, Father? And then be faithful to take the step. And when you do that, when you show up, God shows up. And the funny thing with him is that he shows up before we show up. He's not waiting for us to show up. He will show up and then show us how to show up. And so I've seen that consistently. I've seen that through everybody who's been attached to this. Because something happens where they have a testimony and a reason for their resolve. So every single year, and I want each person here who's listening to this, who's listening on the replay, I want you to look at what has God given you to step out on that you have stopped at where your limitations are. Because it's never about your limitation. It's about, are you committed to saying yes to God's purpose for your life? And if that answer is yes, and you take the steps, he will meet you there, and then he will eclipse where you go and blow your mind. Look at where we are now. Six in. Amazing.
Absolutely. And that is something that today, I really pray touches everyone. What's getting in your way? And don't let it be yourself and the voices in your head, because those voices can be real. The enemy wants to torment you. He's seeking whom he can devour. But we have to be able to use the weapons that we've been given, which is the word of God, which is prayer, which is praise, because that confuses him. He's like, well, how he praising and she praising in the middle of this storm? Let me turn up the fire a little bit more. And not knowing that's only refining you so that you can come out as pure gold. So thank you for being here, my brother, just always having my back, understanding the assignment, and being here to be a support. I mean, we met with you trying to help me figure out another social media app, Blab.
Right.
And Blab is gone. I'm upset that Blab is gone, honey. That was my app because I loved the Blab. And Blab went out of business. And I was tinkering on Blab, and then here goes this image popping up. Hey, you need some help? I'm like, well, what the? Who is this? And that's how it all started. Who knew? Once again, a social media app would connect me to my brother for life. I'm sure when we do all the genealogy testing, you really my cousin. Because
you know what? That may be the case.
I believe it. Should we just go ahead and claim it? You know, I have a lot of situations. I got Coco, you know, I got my West African, you know, because I'm Liberian, you know, they call me Mawia. That's right. For my Africans out there that know what that means. You know, going to Liberia was such a highlight of my life and even last year. So I am just thrilled that we can share this testimony, that we can just proclaim the good news of the gospel in a way that's not intimidating, but inviting. Right? That folks don't have to say, well, it's not cool to serve God, or you got to give up your life. Honey, God didn't make me corny. Yeah. And just because I serve him don't mean I can't put a little bling on, have a little fun. He called me the way I am, and he worked with me. But the truth is, what he's asking for is our heart. And our heart and our minds to be focused on him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all things shall be added. You got to enjoy the fruit of the land. He gave us dominion over this. I had to learn that, because somewhere along theology got twisted for me. And I thought because if you're poor or you didn't talk about money, that was doing something good for God. No, that's a bad representation of who owns the universe. So we're going to continue and get into the award portion of the call today that you all will get to hear live. Typically, we usually have an opportunity where everybody shares their testimony. The call started at 15 minutes, then it went to 30 minutes, then it went to 60 minutes. And then now, y'all love Jesus so much, we in the Holy Ghost after party. Sometimes we on that call for 3-4 hours. I'm like, y'all ain't tired. Y'all really love Jesus. We still here. We started at 9 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock, people. And we only used to do those marathon calls on holidays like New Year's or Christmas. And now it's become commonplace. I said, and then y'all started calling the church. Y'all started calling me minister. I'm like, I used to say, Dr. Eloise, Jesus didn't give me that memo. But now I know it's marketplace ministry, so it's fine. So we're going to bring to the stage now Minister LaTanya Boyd, and we're going to talk about this special award that we give out during this event. And once we explain the reason why, wait till you hear this testimony. Get your tissue. For those of you, when the Holy Spirit falls and then the tears start coming, hold your lash. Oh, if you got a little situation on your head, make sure you secure it, because it's about to go down. But I want to introduce the administrator of the Winnie Birch Award, none other than Minister LaTanya Boyd, who was the first recipient of the award. Let's give her a round of applause. Oh. Well, hello, my sister. Yeah. All right, they're going to... Yes, all right.
All right.
Well... I am so excited that we get to do this every year. Yeah. And I surprised you, and it was the cry of the century at the TWA Hotel, which is the second Faithpreneur Weekend experience at the Landmark Hotel at TWA. They tried to take all my money, but it was a good conference. They did. And I surprised you with the Winnie Birch Award because of who Winnie is to our community. You want to tell everyone a little bit about our Winnie?
Winnie was so special, and I'm trying to fight back the tears, but she was such a special individual who made a great impact, not only with us, but with the community and with the world. She went on to be with the Lord. She was fighting a good fight with stage 4 cancer.
Colon
cancer. And but she was such an inspiration and a light to us all, that no matter what we go through, that God is still there with us, even to the day of when she passed on. She was on the prayer call.
Yes.
She was on the prayer call, encouraging us to continue to walk by faith and not by sight, to continue to seek him first in his kingdom of righteousness, that all of this will be added on to us. And so when you surprised me on that day, it caught us all off guard with bestowing that great honor of her. She was also gifted and talented. Y'all know anything about? She was gifted and talented. She was very gifted with her hands. Mm-hmm. She wrote a book
Above it all, in the middle of cancer treatment. Wow.
Mm-hmm. She published a book in the middle of it all, above it all. And she was good with her hands and drawing and crafting and just different things. And she was really a beacon of light on what faith is, even as an entrepreneur. You know, she didn't dim her light. She didn't give up. She was still pressing on. And so to receive such an honor and just to walk in those footprints, it's truly an honor. Now, I battle stage 5 in stage renal disease. And some of you might be scratching your head saying, girl, what's that? That is end stage kidney disease. Both my kidneys have failed, but she was such an inspiration that I can look up to the hills from which my help cometh. My help cometh from the Lord. And so I am truly, truly blessed, and I am able to be here. I feel
Jesus.
Let me just
yes, Lord. You are here.
Yeah.
You are here. And what did Winnie say all the time? She said, if God heals me and raises me from the bed, it's to his glory.
Yes.
If he calls me home, it's for my glory.
Yes.
And she said, whatever way daddy does it, I'm okay.
Yes.
So she has such a peace
yes.
with her about what it was yes. happening. And she would do Facebook Lives saying, getting yes. cute for chemo.
Yes.
And she would
yes.
get, some days were good days for chemo, yes. some days were rough. And she would share the good, yes. the ugly, the happy. But yes. it was her witness that no matter what she was going through, mm-hmm. she never stopped giving God praise. And then still had time to call and fuss at me, talking about mm-hmm. Energizer Bunny.
Yep, that's what she would call
Energizer
you.
Bunny, where are you? You need to sit down. You mm-hmm. need to rest yourself.
Yes.
And that's why this award is so important to me, yes. because it's about the resilience. Mm-hmm. It's about rising above it all. And you can learn more about Winnie Birch if you go to Destiny Designers University and you click on the Winnie Birch page. You'll see our yes. administrator. Yes. You'll see the Jason Hodge, who is also a part of helping yes. the committee to choose yes. our honorees. Yes. So why don't you announce our 2023 Winnie Birch excited. Award recipient
yes,
for
other.
This
yes,
year.
Yes, yes. Everyone help me welcome our dear sister, Dr. Eloise Smith, to the stage. God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to take a picture with your award first.
Wow.
My love.
Wow. This is amazing.
It's me, y'all.
You are our Faithpreneur Winnie Birch Award recipient for 2023.
Thank you. I am so honored, and especially hearing the story, the testimony of my dear sister, Winnie Birch. I am humbled as well as honored, you guys. This is a tremendous, tremendous blessing to be honored. Just my life reflecting part of who Sister Winnie Birch was or is.
Absolutely. Now, your bio is quite extensive. You are an anesthesiologist. You're an author. You're a minister. You're a singer. Like, God gave you a whole lot of talents. Did you take somebody else's talents online? But... But I am thrilled today because our audience gets to hear your testimony. Just a few short, a year?
Yes.
A year ago, you were completely blind.
Yes, I was.
Please share the story with our audience.
Wow. As an anesthesiologist, I was in surgery about a year ago, and I felt something in my left eye, and it was just all of a sudden, it was just extremely excruciating pain. And I took my contacts out, I wash, and it just became greatly excruciating. I finished the surgery. And then I left the next day and they referred me to an ophthalmologist, then to a corneal specialist. And they were like, oh, it's just a corneal abrasion. That's all it is. And so she put eye drops and antibiotics and all of these things, steroid drops. And to the point that I was having every day eye drops every hour. And within 3 days, I was completely blind. And with, I don't want to be graphic, but just gross pus rolling out of my eye. And, but you know, as a woman of faith, I considered it a test because I know the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. So I was seeing as my Father sees, I have to see the end from the beginning, and I'm going through the process and not stopping in the process. I saw myself seeing. So everyone that was around me, I told them that I could see. I had double blackout mask on. And I remember right before I went totally blind, I called Dr. Grant and I just said, I told her what was going on, but I told her, I only need you to say is that I can see. I remember we shared that. And I hung up and I called about four or five people, Dr. Carkendall and my daughter, who's also a physician, and my pastor. And then my daughter, of course, took my phone. She says, Mother, you can't see anyway, so I'll take your phone. And so it was a blessing, though, that as I said, within 3 days, I was completely blind. Double blackout mask. I could tolerate no light. I've sat in a dark room, but the light was shining brightly within me. I began to, it got so bad. I was nausea, vomiting. I hate to be graphic, but even my ears were so sensitive. I couldn't stand people talking. Just the noise, everything. I had to have a lady come to my home. The church sent a lady to get me dressed. They would send me food or bring food because I couldn't cook. I couldn't even get around in my own house because I was bumping into walls. Kind of goofy, but I did. But then the next thing, I ended up having emergency surgery one night, and the doctor came out after I was under anesthesia, and she came out and told my daughter. I'm so sorry to tell you, Dr. Coven, but your mother is blind, and as you know, but we're going to have to remove her eye. It's called enucleation, so we need to remove her eye. My daughter said, hold up. I don't think you know who my mother is. She said, do you know my mother has prayed for people in Africa? She's gone to Africa for 15 years doing missions. Don't you know she's prayed for people and spoke the word of God, and their sight was restored immediately. Don't you know she's raised the dead? She even raised her own father from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit. Breast cancer left her body in the name with the word of God. She says, you really don't know who my father is. So she says, you absolutely do not have any permission to remove my mother's eyes, because my mother fell asleep saying she could see. She's going to wake up with complete vision. So we went to sleep, woke up, and I remembered my daughter told me the story, because I was asking the nurses in the middle of the night, you know, what happened in the surgery. They were like, we don't know. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. You have to know as a physician. The physician writes orders, so they knew, but nobody would tell me because my daughter had said, do not tell my mother any of the diagnosis, what happened in surgery. So the next morning, my daughter tells me all of this. And I remember when she was telling me, mother, I have good news and I have not so good news. So she was telling me all that happened. And I jumped up out of the bed, gown flailing, and just singing, I expect a miracle every day. God will make a way out of no way. Just believe. I'm like, come on, back me up. I'm just singing because I knew when I got that report, that was a report of the enemy. And since I'm seeing through the eyes of God, matters the natural, matters what you see in the natural. It could be breast cancer. It could be whatever name is named. Don't you know that the word of God is still true? We must speak the word and have making our faith finality. Matters the process. We must look at the end and see it as our Father sees it, the end from the beginning. But it is not your testimony to be blind, because I said God gave me vision, God gave me eyes to see so I can see. And so I went on, they did another surgery, it didn't matter because I still knew I could see. I went through the doctor came in actually the next day that I had the surgery, and she said, Dr. Smith, she started screaming, she's looking in my eyes screaming, then after I'd been dancing around, and she came in and was like, oh my God, oh my goodness. She said, these aren't the eye. This isn't the eye that I saw in surgery last night.
Jesus.
She said, you have new eyes. I said, because my Father said, but see, I rejoice when I was given, yes. When I first became, the sickness first attacked my body. That's when I rejoiced. I didn't need to rejoice after I saw the manifestation or the doctor to tell me what God had already told me in my spirit. I was rejoicing already. I expected a miracle. Yes. That day, God had already made a way. Out of no way. So I'm just so excited. That was the miracle of my blindness, because I remember my 100-year-old mother when I was in that situation, and she would come in my room and sing songs. Mother would come, because this is the same 100-year-old woman that when I was 6 weeks of old, I was a SIDS death. You don't understand my testimony. I died. It was my mother who prayed for me, and she says, you were bluer than blue. 5 minutes passed, bluer than blue, and I just said, my husband will not come home to a dead baby. Bluer than blue. And my mother loved the Lord with all of her heart. And she taught me to pray. She spoke the word into me. She says, 10 minutes passed, I'm bluer than blue. But she says, Lord, you said she would live and not die. My daughter will. And I speak the word of God. And that's where I got it from, making your faith finality and speaking the word of God, speaking God's word, and not what you feel and not what you see or what you don't see. You must speak the word of God. And that's what my mother did. She says about 10 minutes, 15 minutes passed, I was still blue. And then she says, all of a sudden my little toe did this. And then a couple of seconds later, I was pinker than pink instead of bluer than blue. And my father did not come home to a dead baby. And then, you know, it's just because of a praying mother. And that's why we must value a praying mother. And then the enemy, when you have to understand when issues come against you, they're just issues that try to come against you and snuff you out, because it's the real enemy out there. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. But God has come that we have life, and life abundantly. Ooh. Abundantly. Ephesians 3:20 tells us. He blesses us abundantly more than we can ask or think, according to this power that works within us. Because the enemy will always try. Those are the afflictions. At 2 years old, I was another diagnosis, polio. I ended up going to modeling school. I model here in New York and wearing stilettos. But I went 13 years in therapy, but I never wore braces. I never wore braces with polio because, my God, I never spoke through my mouth that I had polio. I don't claim what the enemy, I claim what God says about me. I'm whole, healed, and by his stripes, I'm not going to be healed. I'm already healed.
Amen. Woo! I know the chat is on fire. I know everybody here, they want to run, but they know it's a set. That is the reason why you are being celebrated as our 2023
Hallelujah.
Faithpreneur Winnie Birch Award recipient, rising above it all. And I love what you said about your faith reaching finality. That thing had my baby leaping the first time you said it. I was like, ooh, Jesus, that's good. Because when you're in the middle of the test, when everything around you is counter what the word is that you receive, you have to dig into something deep inside of you. And that's your faith, right? Because you can't see it, but you trust it. And everybody around you looking at you like you're crazy. The people in the hospital are like, what you mean you can sing? You dancing around here, you can sing, and you can't see a thing. But what you can see is God's love for you. What you can see is his promises are yes and amen. What you can see is that he is not a man that he would lie.
Amen.
Ooh, this is good to be Faithpreneur TV. I love it.
Absolutely. And you know, one thing is that when we don't think not or take it small, reading the word of God, it's important for us to get the word of God inside of us, because the challenge is I did not have my natural vision. I had spiritual vision, but I also had the word of God in my heart. So therefore I could speak the word of God. That's what I call it, my voice activated system, in that what I say, like God said, when he spoke, things happen. So when I speak, things have no option not to happen, because I can frame my world in the word of God. So therefore, I spoke the word of God that I had already put in my heart, that by his stripes I'm healed. I'm not going to be healed. He said, I'm already healed. So I must speak the word of God and rejoice. That's my action of faith. My rejoicing and dancing was my act of faith, because I could see. I don't care what the enemy said, I could see. So I just want you to take that on the word of God, hide it in your heart so it doesn't depart from you when you're going through situations. Even when you have your natural sight, if you go through a situation, it could be a financial situation, it could be a health situation, it doesn't matter. Our God is an awesome God, and his word will not fail. Not one dot, what not tittle of his word will fail us ever. And we must speak it, it will return to him, not return to him void. Because when he spoke it, it was written by the elders, written by the prophets. But now we must choose to speak it out of our mouth and return it to him. That's when it doesn't return void.
Woo, Jesus. Can we give another round of applause to Dr. Eloise Smith? Is this good or is this good? I thank God for your testimony. I thank him for your friendship. And as we close this segment out, you said something that was so important, and I didn't understand, because to the pure, all things are pure. But when you called and asked for prayer, you didn't call everybody, because sometimes when you're in that fiery furnace, you can't tell Larry, Darry,
no,
Stick and Boos, yes, and all that. Yeah, I don't know where that one came up from. But you can't tell everybody whose faith doesn't match your faith.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
So they won't know how to pray with you. They won't speak the word of God.
Absolutely.
So you were very intentional. You even told your pastor, don't tell the whole church.
Exactly. I sure did.
Absolutely. Because not everybody's faith had gotten to that level where they could hold that space. Because I was convinced. When we went to prayer, I was like, oh, she can see. She's healed.
Exactly.
Like, it's not. And it's easy for me to do it for other people.
Yes.
God has me in a season where I had to speak that word for myself.
Amen.
Right? Yes. To be able to battle, because I'll go to battle for somebody against the enemy.
Yes.
But I had to learn how to use my own words to remember to fight this good fight of faith.
Yes.
We have to stay in constant practice. So, you know, when I was younger going to church, and you know, everybody testifying how sweet, ooh, how sweet he is. I'm like, you can't eat Jesus. Like, what are they talking about? But now I understand what it means, because you're able to trust in the midst of the storm, because the storm can't control you, because God is the one who says, peace, be still. Woo-wee. Can we give another round of applause to Dr. Eloise Smith?
Thank you.
All right, family. I know you're still on the prayer call line. We're going to do a slight commercial. And we're going to just hear a little bit from one of our sponsors. But while we get that set up, I want to thank those who believed in this mission from day one. Miss Jessie's. You see displayed here in our in-person studio, Miss Jessie's, Miko Branch, was one of the first people that saw the vision. She said, I got you, sis, and I will be there with you. And I'm so grateful to her. I'm grateful that my other Faithpreneur honoree, Dr. Carmetria Burton, was with Delta Airlines, right? And that was one of the first corporate sponsors that we got to be a part of this. When other corporate entities were like, well, we don't really deal with religion and politics. You're talking about faith. I don't know. I had friends with access to different tables, but they didn't want to bring my sponsorship deck there because I was talking about God. But look at how God made a way to leverage that relationship, to open up new doors. You'll be hearing from one of my partners and clients, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey.
Wow.
It's a government entity that is opening up opportunities, and they can appreciate that faithpreneurs can be the drivers of economic engine. But if I didn't start and if I didn't hold the space, we would not be here. So National Grid, let's give it up for National Grid. They are our diamond sponsor. We are working together. We have a 3-year partnership as they are building out intentionality within the faith-based community. And that is a part of one of our past honorees as well, who is a reverend. But now when God puts you places, you can use it for his glory.
Amen.
And now we can build capacity building. We can do technical support and create opportunities for those who want to be in the green space here in New York. So we are proud to be able to partner with National Grid.
Yes. Hello, faithpreneurs. My name is Carla Hunter Ramsey, and I'm proud to be here representing National Grid. National Grid is your corporate sponsor, and we are excited to talk to you about an opportunity that I'm going to go into more detail about later. But first, I want to talk to you about National Grid. National Grid is an international energy company, and in the United States, we are in Massachusetts and also in the state of New York. The work that I do is for the state of New York, and I work with an initiative called Project C. Project C is our New York Community Investment Program, and we've got four pillars that are focused under Project C. The first pillar is clean energy and sustainability. The second pillar is environmental justice and social equity. The third pillar is neighborhood development and community engagement. And the fourth pillar is workforce development. And I'm going to hone into workforce development and clean energy and sustainability, along with environmental justice and social equity, as I talk to you about an initiative that we launched called the Grid Collective. The Grid Collective is a Project C initiative that is focused on growing New York State's green businesses and jobs with a focus on training Black and brown people as it relates to clean energy and weatherization projects. This is very important as we think about the clean energy transition and the need to have individuals trained in order to do the work. And so we are launching pilots across the state of New York, workforce development projects, where we've done the first one in Jamaica, Queens. Then we'll be doing Buffalo, also Syracuse, and Albany. Now, keep in mind, although we have launched the Jamaica, Queens pilot, there is an opportunity to be a part of our second cohort. And so there is a website that you'll be able to see a link to. I want you to go on that website and I want you to read about the Grid Collective. And there's also a link where you can apply. And once you apply to the program, we will be able to give you more information about this. This is extremely important. I'm so happy to have this opportunity to present this to you faithpreneurs. Here's the other major piece I want to share with you. Another part of my remit with National Grid is to focus on faith-based communities. I am also an ordained reverend with the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and I am honored that I have this opportunity in order to work with houses of worship, whether it's Christian, Muslim, or Jewish, in order to build advocates on behalf of National Grid. It's important for us to understand how we can best work with you and help you as you do the work of God.
faithpreneurs, you are important to National Grid, and I am so excited to be the one that I can be connected to in order to work with you. And so with that, this faithpreneur experience is something that National Grid is proud to be a part of, and I'm looking forward to getting many of you to go online. Again, you're going to see that link and learn about the Grid Collective and also to apply. So with that, again, it's Carla Hunter Ramsey from National Grid, proud to be a corporate sponsor in this faithpreneur experience.
Sorry. You couldn't hear me. I'll say it again. One more time for Carla Hunter Ramsey. And National Grid Project C. I love you all. I'm just so glad we want to renew our relationship and keep it going. But no, I am excited about the green space. For people who don't think that global warming is real, you hit your head somewhere. You can see what's happening, and they're really working hard to be responsible neighbors. Everything is not perfect. I just testified for them at a hearing. It was my first time doing that. And just acknowledging the fact that they realize that something needs to shift, and they want to invest in creating opportunities for workforce, our young children, some who might go to college, who might not, who can get these opportunities to work in the green space with National Grid, and for companies who are in the green space and want to become suppliers. So this is a very intentional program. This pilot is happening in New York, and then it's going to expand to different places throughout the country. So I'm excited to share it with our faithpreneurs across the country, but our concentration right now is what you heard launching in New York, and people are taking note. I received a phone call after my testimony that they said, oh, the faith-based lady, she was really awesome. I was like, look at God. And my first time testifying for a commission like that. But I want to thank Carla Hunter Ramsey and the entire team for what they are doing to ensure that the faith-based space is represented in what we have. So we have a few more callers who want to be able to share in our VIP prayer call before we wind down there and continue here in our live studio. So D. Jason Hodge, my brother, who do we have in Clubhouse or the conference line that is ready to speak?
Let's see. We've got Carmen on the line here. Dr. Smile. We've got folks that we're trying to bring up. That's Ladrine.
Okay, so while you bring them up, because the technical director is not going to let more than two people speak. So let's see how fast they come up, and let's check the conference line, star one, if you're there. Okay, they might be in listen only mode. So go ahead, Jason, whoever's first. Dr. Clubhouse, Auntie Roz.
It's Carmen.
It's Carmen. Oh, and you're going to hear from Carmen a little later. It is our wealthpreneur herself, Carmen Herrera. Carmen, tell everybody where you're tapping in from and what you're grateful for as one of our sponsors as well. Let's give her a round of applause. She is a empowered faithpreneur that has sowed into kingdom business, and we are so grateful to have you here. Go ahead, sis. Tell everybody what you're grateful for today.
Absolutely. Hey, sis. Hey, family. Y'all know I'm already over here crying. This has already been a powerful event this morning. I'm tapping in from Houston, Texas. And look, you know, Dr. Stacey, I'm going to be quick, but I remember year one. And I remember how I ended up getting there. Our dear friend, Gloria Goins, we were in D.C. at the Power Networking Conference a few weeks before your event. And she said, what you doing on August? I don't remember the exact date, but what you doing on August 14th? I said, I don't know. I have to check my calendar. Well, whatever you're doing, you're going to be in New York. I'm like, okay. She's like, you're going to support Stacey. I'm like, okay? I mean, and it was funny because although, you know, I love you, and it wasn't intentional that I intentional, but I was so glad that people who know you and see you, Gloria and I have done some work together. And she's like, you got something to say and you need to go support our sister. So I got to the first conference, y'all, and it's just the relationship. We got talked about Winnie and just, you know, I think that's where I met Jason. It just, you know, it was such a blessed time, Dr. Stacey, and just what you're doing. I told you that for many, many, many years before I even showed up on the scene, I would listen to this call. I remember the 15, and then I remember when it was 30 minutes. I'd be laying in my bed on Saturday morning, and it's sideways. And it was such a blessing to me. You know, it was such a blessing to be able to hear from you and your wisdom for God's people. And to hear the testimonies, and I would think to myself, my situation, you know, ain't so bad. You know, people who are maybe dealing with things or have been coming out of things, and this is such a blessed movement. And as I said last week, we have to undergird and support this. This is a ministry, y'all. It takes money. It requires resources, not just for us to get poured into, but for us to pour into this, for this to continue to last, and for what our sister is doing for us and across the world. So I'm so glad to be here this morning. I'm going to stop, go grab some more tissues. Y'all will hear from me a little later. So I love you. I love y'all. Thanks to the family.
Love you more. And we did say as a group, we're going to get some stock in Kimberly Clark, who owns Kleenex. So they can sponsor our Faith Fedora experience.
Stacey, we need to set up an investment fund, but we got to talk about that. We've been saying that for a couple of years. So
yes, it's time to do it. Yep. I think that'll be the big announcement for year 7, right? That we have the fund up and running with those investments. So I just want to thank you. And I'll never forget the day you unmuted your microphone, because no one's seeing anyone on the call. They're either calling in on a conference line. And when we included Clubhouse, it is an audio app. So you don't have to put on your makeup. You don't have to do your hair. You can just log on to the app. And during COVID, it was really a way for people to connect. And it grew exponentially so quickly because people felt free that they could just communicate. They didn't have to worry about some of the other pressures of other social media apps. And when you unmuted that day, it was like 3-4 years ago, and you said, I have something to say. I'm like, Carmen, you're on the call? Like, I didn't even know that you were on the call all these years. And so many of my friends that joined, because I started publicizing it on social media, maybe 5, 6, maybe even longer that, maybe 7 years ago. Because before that, it was just email. Or if you were in my text campaign, you would know that the prayer was happening. So people would randomly just join in because they saw the information. And I was so shocked that, one, you were on the call, and then you blew me away when the Lord put it on your heart to be an invested sponsor for Faithpreneur Weekend, and you wrote a big check and saved the day for us to have Faithpreneur Weekend experience. That was 1, 2, 3, 4 years. I mean, you've been supporting ever since, but that was significant because what it did was witness to me that it wasn't about me, but what God was doing through me. And that he was confirming that this was his work and that he would supply. Because everything that I've done, I don't really know how all of the pieces are coming together half the time. But if God gives it to me, I don't wait on it. Some people sit on it. If God gives you a word, it will resonate in your spirit. If you can go to the word of God and confirm that you know it's of God. And if I know it's of God, I'm not waiting. I'm not trying to miss the timing of the blessing, right? You say it, I'm doing it. My sister over there laughing, Serena, because she knows. I'm like, let's go. And, you know, you hear about how we did a project. We talked about it. I'm like, all right, let's start writing it down. Let's set the date. Let's move, because that's part of what I teach. What's your fulfillment date? Right? I don't deal with deadlines. What's your fulfillment date? So if you're listening today, know that life is filled with ups and downs. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you it's a bed of roses. Like, you will get the wind knocked out of you, but you keep getting up to fight again. You keep getting up because you're not resting on your own strength. You're resting on God. So I remember the year when we didn't have any internet for our hybrid conference, meeting at Borough Hall in Queens, New York. down to the wire. And my kids are looking at me like, Ma, there's no internet. What are we doing? Like, why is the monitor set up? Like, how are we going to do this? I'm like, don't ask me, ask Jesus. Right? Because I didn't know. But he made a way. And some of you have heard that testimony. And that's what I want to talk about right now is the journey and why volume two is loaded. Volume one was already a lot. But when volume two hits these streets officially, this testimony that's loaded, can you stand the test? Because the test comes in different ways. And sometimes the people closest to you will be your greatest test if they don't get it. Not that they mean harm or that they're trying to be obstructive, but if they don't have the same level of faith that you have, it is an impediment to your success. And success is relative. I say that with air quotes. The success is doing God's will, right? Not for riches or gain. He put that, this is all here for us to use, right? He is the source. But the success in staying the course and holding on, that's always been my prayer, because I felt like Noah many a times, and sometimes two times a day, building this whole movement, and especially this Faith and Noah TV. But like, what's she doing? Faith and Noah TV. Like, well, first of all, it was, she went from launching a book to now doing a Faith and Noah 3-day conference. My husband was like, Lord, help me with this woman that I married. We go from a book signing to a legacy dinner. And now she's talking about a 3-day conference, not even just starting off with a 1-day conference, a 3-day weekend experience. And I thank God that he has been a covering. Can we give my husband a round of applause? He don't like when I call him baby daddy in public, but you know, that's my baby daddy. But I thank God for him, because if he didn't believe God for himself, it's hard to be married to someone who's a lot, a lotta. Right? You got to know yourself. For all of my powerful women out there, the man that's attracted to you is attracted to that greatness. But something that he told me years ago when we first got married, I know you don't need me, but it feels good to be wanted. Yes. And that was something, because my mother raised me to be an independent Black woman, honey. I don't need this. I don't need. But it was something about when he said that, I heard him differently. Because they're attracted to the strength, but you still have to create that space so that they feel wanted, needed. And I've tried to work hard to remember that, because I'm a strong personality. He didn't figure that out. But he is my covering, head of my house, my man. And I want my sons to understand that their best teacher, as they love their father, you know, more than they can even describe, is their dad. Like, they don't have to go anywhere else to see what it is to be a man of God, to grow in your own faith. Right? Because sometimes he's like, I don't know about this, but the way you and Jesus set up, I know it's going to work out. He just got to that point. Like, I don't know what we do. What we doing? How are we doing it? But that is the beauty in this journey of a faithpreneur. People see the lights, the camera. Oh my goodness, she's doing Faithpreneur TV. But you don't know what's the story. Just like Oprah, when she talks about the fact that you don't want my life. You didn't want to go through what I went through to be abused. You don't want to go through what I went through to lose the one child that I was able to carry. You don't want to go through the hurt and the pain. There's a price. And if people who don't subscribe to believing that God is true and his word is real and will never return unto him void can have a certain level of success and finances, what about us? We're children of the King. But we don't, and I'll speak for me, and the orientation of the things that I used to hear, it was, you dull that down. Like you dim your light because you're being boastful. No, what you're doing is being a good representation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we don't chase money for money's sake. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Not money. Money answers all things. So if you don't have money, how are you going to do anything? You know, one of my spiritual daddies and somebody's daddy that's in here for real, would say the best way to help broke people is not be one of them. Right? So that's the thing that I had to learn, because he got that from Reverend Ike. And that's Les Brown would say all the time. He's like, that's the best way. Baby, if I had to do it all over again. But it's the truth. And as Christians, as believers, as faithpreneurs, what hurt me the most on this journey was that I thought I had the great business model down. Right. I said, OK, we launching this whole conference. It's year one. All I have to do is talk to all these pastors that I know and tell them just sponsor five of your members to come to the Faithpreneur Weekend Conference so they can get the capacity, training, the technical skills, everything that they need so they can grow their enterprise and then tie back into the church. And then I would be able to cover my costs. And it really wasn't even a business model that had me making a huge profit. I was just paying the bills. And then the real larger churches, I said, you can do 10. Do you know that one church was able to sponsor out of talking to over 25 just in that first year? Because they didn't have the financial capacity to sponsor their members to come to the conference. That's a problem. I said, Lord, what is going on? Like, this doesn't make sense to me. Like, we need to be building up the capacity of those who believe in you so that they can use the skills, the gifts, the talents that you gave them that will make room for them, that they can multiply it and bring it back into kingdom business. So as we've been growing and moving through this, that resistance is real. Because, you know, the enemy mad at me. So don't think I get a get out of jail free card because I'm the chief faithpreneur. It's like the bullseye just keeps coming. Like, oh, if I could shut her up. Oh, if I could just get rid of her. I mean, he was trying since I was born. My uncles were watching me while my mother went out to work. And these two didn't know how to feed me properly or burp me properly. I was choking and dying. I was turning blue like Dr. Eloise. And my mother walked in apparently right on time and was able to like turn me over because she's a nurse and get me breathing again. So he was trying to take me out there and I fell down the stairs. Could have broke my neck. He tried to take me out then. I fell right in the middle of the street carrying my youngest son, trying to rush into the post office to file some taxes. Big belly, 8 months pregnant, down on the ground. This car like screeched and stuff. Like, oh my God, she's pregnant. And I'm on the ground laughing because I couldn't get up. You know, when you're that big and pregnant, you're like, oh, well, Jesus. And then nobody wanted me to leave the house because all these things were happening. I fell off the side of the stairs picking up my oldest son from school while pregnant, slid down on ice, went straight down to the ground. And I think the one that everybody remembers, I'm telling you, the enemy's been trying to literally kill me since I was a baby. It was New Year's Eve and my youngest son was almost three. So that must have been 2005. I think it is. I always forget the date. It was New Year's Eve and New Year's Eve fell on a Sunday that year. So we had two services. You know, all y'all good church folk, you go to church in the morning and you come back for watch night. So we had our two services and I had made some stew peas. And, you know, the Jamaicans know what the stew peas is. Oh, it was good. I had a good little ham bone, honey. That my gave me those stew peas ready for New Year's Eve. So I said, well, I didn't make the rice. I told my husband, let's just stop off and I'll run into the Chinese food store and I'll grab some rice and then we can eat and then come back for a night service. So I'm getting out the car. I'm singing happy anniversary to my girlfriend. Any of you that know me know I call you on your birthdays. You might not hear from me 364 days a year, but one day. You know, I'm going to celebrate your birthday. So I was talking to her. I'm hanging up the phone. I'm walking into the Chinese restaurant. And the next thing I know, I heard a bam right in my face. I didn't know what hit me. I didn't know what happened. I'm falling back. There was glass right behind me. There, for the grace of God, I didn't go through the glass. Now, y'all pray for me because I had on a little fur coat and my little hat. You know, I had everything together. It was New Year's Eve. Blood is gushing. Someone came rushing to help me. And here I go. I'm like, Lord, I know you got to work on me. I was like, don't get the blood on the fur. Hold on. And I didn't know what happened. So a guy in the store was like, was that your man? I said, now that is a problem. That domestic violence is such an issue in our community. They thought I was having a domestic dispute. And he came to beat me. They started calling the police because the Chinese lady is screaming, oh my God, my God, my God. shot. So she's calling 911. Andrew is in the car with my two kids, baby in the car seat, my other son sitting there. And that's why to this day, he's so sensitive about me traveling and being around people, because all he remembers seeing is his mother coming out, like trying to walk with blood everywhere. That's an image for a child to see. And my husband did not know what was going on until somebody came up to the car and was like knocking on the window. So he's rolling up the window. You know, it's New York. You don't just roll up on somebody's window like that. He was like, your wife just got attacked. He was like, whose wife? My wife just went to get some rice. And that's when he looked up and saw me. Next thing I know, he in a car with his perfect stranger who said, I saw him. And he jumped in the car to go try to find the guy. My kids are in the car by themselves. They didn't call the cops. I'm like, somebody call my mama. Like, it was just a mess. The cops pulled into the gas station just as they were pulling up to find the guy that attacked me. Here's the saddest part of the story. He had mental health problems. So the cops pulled him back so that I could ID him. And he was like, yeah, that's that blank, blank, blank that I beat. I didn't know if my nose was broken. I didn't know what happened in that moment. And I heard screeching tires coming while I was sitting in the ambulance. I said, oh, that's my mama. So the EMT was like, how you know it's your mother? I said, 10, 9, 8, 7. Open that door, my daughter's inside. So thank God, you know, my kids got secured. My mother comes on the ambulance and she is like frantic because she's looking at my face. She's looking at everything. She was like, what is going on? I said, Ma, I said, that was somebody's son. He was a young man. Couldn't have been more than 21, 22. And I'm sitting there talking to her about it while they're attending to me. She said, Jesus, you trying my faith today. She's sitting up in here. We don't know her condition, but she worried about the assailant. She was like, Lord, this child of mine. But in that moment, my heart went out because I said, what happened to him that he would be so violent, that he would attack somebody that looks like him? And I was really just having a moment of just praying for him while we were on the way to the hospital. So when we got there, they took the x-ray. They knew my nose was broken, according to them. It was broken. I was all swollen, blood stains on my clothes. And by the time we got out of the ER, it was close to like 11 o'clock. So my husband was like, you've had a day. You ready to go home? I said, oh, no, no, no. We're going right back to church. Now, by this time, folks started hearing because they went home to come back to service. I said, no, we're going to church. The devil tried to take me out this year. I will be in church praising my God into this new year because my life was spared. We didn't know what he had in his hand. I could have gone through the glass. Anything could have happened that would have been a permanent situation. But I was right back in church, swole, bloodied, but not broken. And that was a reminder of the God we serve. Because when I went back for the follow-up, they looked at the x-ray on the day that I got attacked. And then they looked at the x-ray on that. They said, that's not the same person. They're looking at the name. I say, yes. Not a fracture, because they told my husband, I think we're going to have surgery. But what I do have from that is a chip on my tooth that has never been repaired, because I want to keep it there to remind me that God covered me. I would not be sitting here today. That one act could have taken me out. My kids would have had no mother. My husband would have been a widow. My parents would have been in grieving. But that's why I had to come back and thank God for what he did. See, this faithpreneur life for me, this is real. This is not pretend or for the glossy cameras or, you know, it's just trendy to say hashtag faith. No, this is my life. And every story that I share helps to win souls for the Lord, helps somebody to be convicted. And building this network, that's why we need our investors. That's why we need our investor circle, so that we can build a space where we tell our stories, that nobody has to dictate how we tell the truth about who God has called us to be. If there can be space for everything else in the world that's seemingly cray-cray, there can be some space for Faithpreneur TV. Where we can showcase the talent, the skills, and the individuals who are moving kingdom business in a variety of backgrounds and spaces. So I am excited that as I journey through this process, God continues to show me nothing is really wasted. Like, everything is for a purpose. Every person that I meet is not accidental. Every conversation I have is intentional. Even the challenges that I go through, it's to stretch your muscle. So I am thrilled that at this time, I'm going to share a little bit later, we're going to do our first anthology. I waited on it because I wanted to build our community in a way where I know we have stories of faith in action. And we're going to do this anthology together to be able to highlight and show how we persevered, because we don't always tell the whole story. People just see the end product, but they don't know what happened in the middle. They don't know how you had to cry yourself to sleep sometimes, just calling on the name Jesus when you couldn't say anything else. They don't know how people will disappoint because you put so much trust and hope and expectation into who they're going to be when they're not quite ready to have a front seat in your life. Right? They don't always tell the story about the expensive mistakes that you make because you invest in things far before you have the capacity to use it. They don't talk about the resources that are available to get you through every single stage. You don't have to do it alone. That God put us here to be in community so that we can grow together. And this movement, it's really becoming a movement. I didn't understand what was happening. Like, Jesus set me up for real, with this here prayer call. And then building out the product and then doing the conference. People talking about Reverend Stacey. I'm like, Reverend? Reverend what? That not me. Not me. That's Bishop. That's Bishop and them. That's Bishop and them. They got that calling. But understanding that this is Marketplace Ministry. And if you want to partner with me in this ministry, I thank you in advance, whether it be in the investor circle, whether you join the opportunity to tell your story in the anthology. One of my honorees this year, that's something that she has done and created. She was actually, let me give this quick testimony, one of the people who witnessed firsthand on book one what I went through. She was like, sis. You might need to push that date back, baby, because you don't have your book. I said, I'm not pushing the date back. We're going to do this. She was like, honey, where you going to find someone to do a layout in 24 hours? She literally witnessed, but she was giving me information that was sound. She just didn't have the other part of it that God gave me. And I had to hold on to it. She wasn't doing anything bad. She wanted to see me win. So she was actually trying to protect me and my integrity, because we had pre-sold these books. We had a big launch coming, and the whole thing got wiped out 2 weeks before. And it was down to the day of the launch that those books were printed. So let me give the abridged version of that testimony. You just have to invest in being in the community if you want to hear the whole thing. Long story short, I was launching volume one on the eve of my grandmother's birthday, August 16th, 2016. She went home to be with Jesus December 15th, 2015. And my husband was like, oh, I guess you're going to finish that book now. Because sometimes we have these goals and dreams and we put it out in the world. But if we don't have that fulfillment date, it stays a goal and dream. And he was looking at me, because my husband's very type A. He was like, you done took people's money on pre-orders. Where's the book? I'm like, mind your business. I'm working on the book. He was like, when you gonna finish it? I said, I'm gonna finish it. I'm telling him it's coming. But when she did transition, it sparked something in me that it was gonna be a tribute to her. And we got to the point where the book was done in my mind, right? I'm like, I'm on the computer. I'm like, oh, this is good, Lord. Thank you for that. And I'm saving and I close it down. And I said, all right, oh, look, let me add one more thing. So I open up the computer to add one more thing. It was gone. I could not even breathe. I looked at the computer. I said, no. I'm married to a techie. Everything is rigged in this place. This document has got to be here. It's not there. So I walk upstairs and I'm waking up my husband. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. He thought something happened to the kids. He know what happened. I was like, he was like, the what? He was like, what happened? I said, I couldn't even get it out. and the tear was stuck like Denzel in Glory. It was, it couldn't even fall. It was so heavy. It just couldn't fall. Bishop, it could fall. It was heavy. I said, the book is gone. He was like, what do you mean gone? So we come downstairs to the computer and he's looking at it. And I know my husband sounds like he makes sounds when certain things happen. And I heard the wrong sound. I was like, is that there? He was like, you saved this, right? It's on backup. I was like, yeah, it auto saves like all of the. He was like, babe, the book is not here. I went limp. I was like, I wanted to cry. I couldn't cry. And then the tears, I just, it was such an emotion. Like I felt in that moment what people feel when they want to give up. I can honestly say I had that feeling that everything is over. Like, I can't believe it's gone. I don't know when I fell asleep. I think he was trying to hold me and console me. And when I woke up, I said, okay, Lord. I went to the Bible. Because that was the first place I was. Let me just open my Bible. And the first scripture I went to was Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. I said, well, Lord, you gave it to me before. You're going to have to give it to me again. And I had to travel. I'm typing and crying and typing. I'm like, that was a good sentence, Lord. Like, where am I going? And I did it less than 2 weeks. Pulled it together. But that wasn't the best part, family. So I finally get the manuscript back up. We are now 72 hours away from the launch date. Actually, it was that Friday night when I'm calling Tony frantically like, you have somebody can do the layout. I need to do the layout. She was like, Stacey. So explain this to me again. No, you have to know, Tony. Like, so explain. Let's talk through this. I was like, I need a layout. She was like, well, I mean, let me think of someone that has. So she's trying to think of who could possibly do it because layouts take time. Weeks, sometimes even months, depending on the book. She gave me one name, and while she was looking for the name, I started Googling. I was sending everybody an email looking for an angel. I need a miracle. Like, that was my headers for the emails. So finally, I got in touch with her friend because she was away on vacation. So that's why I was emailing everybody else because I got no response. She was on family vacation. Oh, well, she's from Canada. She was on holiday. And she didn't get back until Sunday night. So I'm talking to her about my project. And she was like, oh, so when's the book project? Like in another month? I was like, no, the book's launching on Tuesday. She was like, Tuesday? She was like, do you understand what layout is? I said, no, but I understand Jesus. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you the file if you're open. She said, okay, just send me the file. Let me see if I get where you're going, what you're doing. Let me see what I can do. She made no guarantees. I said, Lord, fix it. I was praying on her when I was hanging up the phone. I was like, I don't know if she a believer. I don't know who, but use the Lord because I need this layout. She called back and she said, you know what? I just had another project cancel. I think I can turn this around for you, but it's going to be tight. I said, okay. I said, whatever you can do. She was telling me the money. I said, Lord, find the money, do everything, just get it done. So that's Sunday night. The launch is what day? Tuesday. I still have to get it printed. All these people pre-ordered the books. They're expecting their books. So I was like, okay, well, we got that working. We have the proof. I call my printer. And he said, hey, Stace, what's going on? I explained. I said, oh, yeah, I need to do a book print. He was like, a book print? He was like, okay, so is that for September or October? I was like, Tuesday. He was like, Tuesday? I said, yeah, what happened was. So I explained the situation. He was like, Stacey, in order for me to even remotely try to even print 50 copies, you have to have it print ready. Everything proof, like, I don't even know if we can do this, but he is a believer. And I said, okay, Bart, we know God gonna make a way. I hung up the phone. I said, I'll get the file to you tonight. How I know I'm gonna get the file to me? I didn't even have the layout back yet. But I said, I'm gonna get the file to you. Fast forward, I did not get the file to him until Tuesday morning. After the layout doing as much proofing. My mother was proofing. My husband was proofing. Everybody's trying to proof. The prince is like, you're going to have some mistakes. So just know you're going to have mistakes in the first run and you can rerun it again. They're proofing. And I'm driving that morning of the event. They're setting up the venue already. Okay, DJ is there. Step and repeat is up. Balloons, everything getting ready. I had no book. So I had to drive to Brooklyn to proof it. He said, I can't print it without you laying eyes on this because this is a major print. We're doing 200 copies for you. You have to come in. I said, when am I going to find time to come in? So I went in. Meanwhile, my cousin was doing my hair in the basement of the venue trying to do that while I'm looking at making sure everything's okay. I was like, all right, I got to get to Brooklyn now. You know what that man of God did? He's one of the busiest printers in Brooklyn, New York. The courts use him. He closed his business that Tuesday to print the first 200 copies of Volume 1. And when it was ready, you could give God praise. When it was finished, the person that was supposed to pick it up couldn't pick it up again. My mother and my sister were on the Long Island Railroad because they didn't want to drive into the city to come to the event. I call my mother screaming. I'm like, where are you? Like, we just parked the car. We're on our way down. I'm like, no, get back in the car. You got to go to Brooklyn. She was like, Brooklyn at this time? And they drove from Long Island to Brooklyn to pick up the books. My sister called me screaming and crying because she was holding the books in her head. She was like, I got it. We got it. And they drove back. The event already started. There was no book in the house, but nobody knew. They brought those books in while everybody was mixing and mingling. And those books came fresh off the press. 200 sold out. The Holy Ghost was in that room. It was like the crowd of witnesses that night. It was such a special. Tony was there. God did that. So when I go through my own trials, as in like 24 hours ago, I had to remind myself, right, that the same God that did it before will do it again. That's why we have testimony. That's why we have fellowship, so that we don't have to do it alone. And that is the beauty in serving God in spirit and in truth. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, what? Deliver them from them all. And it stretches your faith muscle. It roots you and grounds you in a way that nothing else can. Because if you can do it by yourself, then what you need God for? But when you really have to surrender and turn it over to him with an expectancy of a good report when your faith has reached finality, that's a whole nother level. And that's what the enemy doesn't want you to do. He don't want you to get there. He wants you to be worry, 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 wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. My pastor, Reverend Mother, used to say all the time, you can't kill the enemy or slice him with a butter knife. You need to take out the whole sword of salvation and knock that cross-eyed sucker out. Because he is after you. Not for you, but for all the lives you're going to touch. For all the work you have to do. For whatever industry that you're in. For those who need your voice, your talent, your skill. So if he can torment you enough, frustrate you enough, distract you enough to quit, somebody else's life is left in the balance. But not on my watch. We're going to build this Faithpreneur TV. We're going to get the millions of dollars that we need to make sure that we build profitable enterprise. So with that, we are going to give our Faithpreneur VIP call members an opportunity to hear us say goodbye. Farewell, Alvita, say goodnight to you. Okay, no, I'm going to burst out into song. But D. Jason Hodge, thank you for making sure everybody in the clubhouse streets were able to participate. Those on the conference line that were listening quietly, this is the last call for anybody on the conference line who wants to come off of mute. Tell us where you're calling from, your name, and what you're grateful for. Okay, I don't hear it unmuting. And if it's in closed mode, just love us anyway. You were able to hear some great testimonies today. And for those of you who are in Clubhouse, thank you for stopping by. Make sure that you join the Faithpreneur Club so that you'll get an alert anytime we go live and you'll be able to be a part of the fellowship. And we have the replays that are a podcast. We started creating the replays as a podcast about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. So you can go back and listen. And when we look at the stats from our Faithpreneur VIP Prayer Call podcast, it's in languages that I don't even speak. It is reaching so many people around the globe that stand as witnesses that might not have the religious freedoms that we have in this country, but they're able to grab hold of these fellowships and opportunities to know that they're not alone, that we stand with them in the body of Christ and encourage them to be beacons of light in these very troubled and just unusual times that we're seeing. End days. I used to say end days are coming. I think we right up in it. So that's why we have to make sure that we show ourselves approved. So we're going to go now into a quick commercial break, and then we're going to hear from one of those that I work with in government who, as a part of the JFK redevelopment, that I'm a community advisory council facilitator, I get to work with all of our elected officials, our Congressman Meeks, our borough president, Donovan Richards, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and all of the terminal developers. So they've all been so supportive in this work and understanding how faithpreneurs are real drivers in community, getting certified as minority women-owned business enterprises, and just being able to open up new streams of access and income. So we'll be back right after this.
Hello, faithpreneurs. My name is Carla Hunter Ramsey, and I'm proud to be here representing National Grid. National Grid is your corporate sponsor, and we are excited to talk to you about an opportunity that I'm going to go into more detail about later. But first, I want to talk to you about National Grid. National Grid is an international energy company, and in the United States, we are in Massachusetts and also in the state of New York. The work that I do is for the state of New York, and I work with an initiative called Project C. Project C is our New York Community Investment Program, and we've got four pillars that are focused under Project C. The first pillar is clean energy and sustainability. The second pillar is environmental justice and social equity. The third pillar is neighborhood development and community engagement. And the fourth pillar is workforce development. And I'm going to hone into workforce development and clean energy and sustainability, along with environmental justice and social equity, as I talk to you about an initiative that we launched called the Grid Collective. The Grid Collective is a Project C initiative that is focused on growing New York State's green businesses and jobs, with a focus on training Black and brown people as it relates to clean energy and weatherization projects. This is very important as we think about the clean energy transition and the need to have individuals trained in order to do the work. And so we are launching pilots across the state of New York, workforce development projects, where we've done the first one in Jamaica, Queens. Then we'll be doing Buffalo, also Syracuse, and Albany. Now keep in mind, although we have launched the Jamaica Queens pilot, there is an opportunity to be a part of our second cohort. And so there is a website that you'll be able to see a link to. I want you to go on that website and I want you to read about the Grid Collective. And there's also a link where you can apply. And once you apply to the program, we will be able to give you more information about this. This is extremely important. I'm so happy to have this opportunity to present this to you, faithpreneurs. Here's the other major piece I want to share with you. Another part of my remit with National Grid is to focus on faith-based communities. I am also an ordained reverend with the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and I am honored that I have this opportunity in order to work with houses of worship, whether it's Christian, Muslim, or Jewish, in order to build advocates on behalf of National Grid. It's important for us to understand how we can best work with you and help you as you do the work of God. Faithpreneurs, you are important to National Grid, and I am so excited to be the one that I can be connected to in order to work with you. And so with that, this Faithpreneur experience is something that National Grid is proud to be a part of, and I'm looking forward to getting many of you to go online. Again, you're going to see that link and learn about the Grid Collective and also to apply. So with that, again, it's Carla Hunter Ramsey from National Grid, proud to be a corporate sponsor in this Faithpreneur experience.
Thank you again to Carla Hunter Ramsey, National Grid, and the Grid Collective with Project C. We are excited to be able to partner with you and to do this work. I want to thank everyone who has been listening in Clubhouse and on our conference call. My dear brother, the Jason Hodge, any final words before we close out and get ready for the next part of our session today?
Well, I'm telling you, sis, as always, this has been beyond phenomenal. And for those who are, you know, still wanting to, they can click on the Carmen Center link. Yes, they can still join today with the link. Okay, good stuff. I tell you, sis, this has been just so gratifying to watch. Just how everything just has continued to expand, the impact that this is making, not only in the Christian world, in the believer world, but also in the regular business world as well. And this is how we have to show up as believers, because it's really about shining God's light. Oh, and if we aren't able to go there, how can we shine His light? So we have to be in the proper places in order to strategically share the gospel. So this has been amazing. I am so proud to be a part of this, so grateful, and love you, love the whole fam.
Love you more. So, you know, we always share a scripture and close out in prayer. So the scripture is the grounding scripture for this work, Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That was my grandmother's favorite scripture, or one of her favorite scriptures. And when her voice was getting weak and her body was a little frail, all I had to say, but they, and she would perk right up, that wait upon the Lord, all the strength would come back, and she would be able to just recite the word of God, because that was what she did for her entire life. This is a tribute to her legacy of faith. When my grandmother believed God on something, wild bull couldn't tear her away, honey. She was going to hold on to that word and know that God was going to see her through. So thank you for being here. Let's just go to God in prayer right now. And then we're going to end the room on the conference line as well as in Clubhouse. Thank you so much for being a part of the fellowship. Those who are registering to join us in the virtual green room, we look forward to seeing you there, and continue to keep me in your prayers. You know, I'm not independent of it. I need all the prayers and twice on Sunday. All right, so let's go to the Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for this opportunity for us to give your name all the glory and all the praise. Thank you for this prayer call, for this sacred place that you have set aside. You know, I talked to you on the side, Jesus, about how you set me up on this. But I thank you that going on 14 years that we are still here. I think maybe even 15 now, giving you glory and praise, that people have come into the fellowship, that they've been able to be encouraged, that they don't quit before the manifestation of your promise, because your promises are yes and amen. You are not a man that you would lie. What you said, you will do. We just have to wait the wait out. And as we're waiting and as we're growing and as we're going going through this journey. You're developing us. You're really allowing us to understand that we can't rest on anything or anyone outside of you, to completely cast our cares on you and to trust you with all our heart. Lean not to our understanding, and you will continue to direct our path. We pray for all of those in our community who are going through bereavement right now. It is never easy to say bye to those that we love. Help us to honor them by how we live and their memory and their spirit that never dies. We pray for those who are ill, who are recovering from sickness, who are going through surgeries and recovering. We just ask you to send your healing angels to be by their side, to restore them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. We continue to stand in the gap for those who need special prayers for children. We're living in a time where we're seeing so much challenge against our young women of promise and men of valor for tomorrow. We come against any trick and plan of the enemy, and we defeat him right now. We cover our children and ask you to just put a hedge of protection around them. We pray for those that are dealing with mental health challenges and issues, that spirit of suicide and depression that is trying to devour your people. We come against it now, and let us be able as a community to talk about the resources that are available for those who need help, that is not stigma, that you don't need to be ashamed if you need to get sources and counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists that know you, because you have your people everywhere, that we can get the support within our church fellowship, but we can also get the professional support that's needed to just put one foot in front of the other to be able to make it from day to day. Let us not judge one another, but to love one another and to create safe places where we can get the things that you have provided for us and the resources that you make available. I ask you, Father, just to be with all of the relationships and the marriages, cover and keep them in your perfect peace. We pray, Lord, for those who are preparing to go back to school. I ask you to be with the teachers as well as the students on whatever level and of education they're approaching, that you open up their minds, that they'll be able to absorb what will add value to their gift to the world and how that shows up. We pray for those who are taking care of parents and other elders, that as caregivers, that you replenish them, that you fill them to overflow so they don't have to serve from an empty cup. And thank you for extending the lives of our elders, that you will continue to strengthen and be with them as you've given them these long years to enjoy and to live. And if there's anything, Lord, that we've done outside your will and outside of your way, we ask for forgiveness and thank you for correction in your word. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, which is sufficient, that you continue to supply all our needs according to your riches and glory. And we know, Father, that when two or three are joined together, there you will be in the midst. And there is a multitude and a crowd of witnesses with us today on this sixth annual Faithpreneur Weekend Experience VIP Day. I thank you for the woman of faith, my grandmother, that I get to celebrate your daughter, that her prayers are efficacious. And Lord, what she didn't see happen in the natural while she was here, she has a perfect view sitting up with you and the angels, watching her granddaughter live out the dream that she had. So we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. And I thank you for my husband. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my parents, my siblings, my nieces, my nephews, my partners, my sponsors, everyone in community that continues to hold my hand up as I do this assignment to give your name all the glory and all the praise. So all these things we ask in the matchless and the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. All right, family. Thank you for being here. We're going to end the VIP prayer call now in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Thank you for tuning in to the Faithpreneur VIP Prayer Call Podcast. We hope that you continue to listen and share this with anyone you think would be blessed by the fellowship. Sign up to participate on our live Saturday calls at www.vipprayercall.com. That's vipprayercall.com. This is Dr. Stacy signing off, and hope to connect with you again soon. Bye for now.